If you would open your Bibles, please, again at the beginning of Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 1. We're working through the Gospel of Mark. We're on sermon number 4, and I have decided this week to go a little bit faster than I've been going, so we'll work through the second half of Mark chapter 1. In the past weeks, we've seen that the key moment in Mark chapter 1, or two key moments, are the Spirit descending on the Lord Jesus Christ as baptism, and the Spirit descended on him and stayed on him, and God's love and God's seal on the ministry of Christ, on the person of Christ, came when that voice came from heaven saying, "You're my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased." And then as we moved on, we started to listen to the words of Jesus Christ. In verse 14, Jesus says, he comes on the scene and he says in verse 15, "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And as you think of that, as you think, well, who is it who makes this claim? Who is it that calls me to follow him? Well, we start to get into the ministry of Jesus Christ, and Mark very quickly starts to take us through different reasons why we should listen to the claim and to the call of Jesus Christ. We're not just being asked to put our trust in somebody who can do nothing or who is an unknown, but as we read through the Gospel of Mark, we start to see there are many reasons we should put our trust in him. I don't know, we acknowledge that Dunfermline used to be the ancient capital of Scotland, but when you speak to people about Dunfermline, many people think, where? When I told people I was going to Dunfermline, many people told me they wished I'd get on well in Dumfries. And people don't know where we are, and we think, well, maybe we're a little bit, compared to Edinburgh, we're not as important as other places, and that doesn't matter too much. But one of the things that we notice about Jesus is he doesn't come to the big places at the start. He's born in this little place called Bethlehem. And he grew up in this place called Nazareth. Can anyone good come out of Nazareth? And then when he makes disciples, he makes disciples who are fishermen from Galilee. From where? From Galilee. Well, nothing is really great about that either. And then the first place we see Jesus go in the gospel is to Capernaum. And you didn't know much about Capernaum before, and you're not going to know much about Capernaum because, again, it's one of these places. And the place doesn't become so important, but the power of the Christ who is working in that place is what becomes important. And that gives us great hope as we start to look at the difference Jesus can make, as we think of where we are and the people who are here, the people with different needs and difficulties, and the people presenting the same sort of issues as they do in Capernaum and as they do in Edinburgh or wherever else. But we start to see that the Lord Jesus is able to help all. So Mark gives us reasons why we should follow Jesus, or we can see reasons why we should follow Jesus. And one of the first things we see is that we should follow Jesus because of his authority. He really had an amazing authority. He was literally an amazing teacher. Now, I know we say it was literally amazing about different things, but this really is literally amazing, because when Jesus spoke, when he went into the temple, into the synagogue, and began to teach, verse 22 says, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, which was different, not as the teachers of the law. So what were the teachers of the law like? Well, the teachers of the law were well-respected men who would teach in the synagogue, but they would say things like, "Rabbi so-and-so says that this Old Testament scripture is to be interpreted in this way, and I stand on the work of Rabbi so-and-so, and so this is where my authority comes from." And I know listening to preaching can sometimes be hard work, and sometimes preachers are able to bore you rather than excite you. But when these people were listening to these men, they weren't really hearing anything new. They were just hearing so-and-so saying this. And then this man, Jesus, comes. And he doesn't say, Rabbi so-and-so says this. He says, I tell you, this is what the scriptures mean. As he looks back over to old things, he says, I tell you, and he speaks with authority. And as we look through the teaching of Jesus in other places, he doesn't scratch his head and say, I think this might mean this. But he is a teacher who speaks with authority. And the people are amazed at that. You go online and you listen to preachers. I hope you do. I hope you don't have to do it just because you don't hear good preaching in your church. But none of you search for the most boring, dullest, uninformative teacher I've ever come across. You search for a preacher you know will teach you something. And sometimes you say thank you to them when the recording's finished because they've really taught you something from God's word and they're never going to hear you, but you're grateful. When you come across the teaching of Jesus Christ in his word, it is amazing. Have you realized this? Have you grasped that the teaching of Jesus Christ is the most amazing teaching? Mark finds six different ways of saying this in his gospel. Other gospel writers say it in different ways. It is amazing, amazing teaching. It changes you. Well, it doesn't always. I can't remember when it was, what year it was, but my first ever big football match I went to see was, I think it was Hearts versus Rangers in Ibrox, at the Ibrox end. And I remember sitting quite low down in some cheap seats, I felt, and I could basically see the legs and I didn't have a good overview of what was going on. But it was really amazing to see Paul Gascoigne run the ball around everybody else. And for a few seconds, I knew why he was the most expensive player at the time. He was amazing. Did it turn me into a Rangers fan? No. It didn't turn me into a Rangers fan. Did I follow Paul Gascoigne? No, I didn't. I was amazed for a moment, but I didn't follow on. And as we go through the Gospels, you find that people see the teaching of Jesus Christ. They say it was amazing. It's different to anything I've ever heard. Yet, they don't become followers of Jesus Christ, not all of them. And why not? Because they're unwilling to do something. They're unwilling to repent and believe the good news. And we'll come across that. And we need to understand that we have to repent and believe the good news. To be amazed by Jesus, to see what he has done, is not enough. We have to repent and believe the good news. We should follow him because he speaks with authority. We should follow him because of his power. And we see his power as he speaks to this demon-possessed man, or as he speaks to the demon. We see his power over the demonic forces. And that's something that we see in the gospel. We're not dealing with people so much today who are demon-possessed or who we can see are demon-possessed. Not that demon-possessed people don't exist, but why did it happen to Jesus all the time? Well, it's when Jesus came, his enemies came, and Satan did all he could to destroy the work of Jesus Christ. And that's why the story is repeated so many times in the Gospels, this fight against evil. And so we see the devil comes out to play when Jesus came. What would we do? How would you recognize it? When I was 18 and went again to Glasgow as a young man, we went to a midweek meeting in a church. And after the minister started preaching, just along from me, this man started going, pregnant cow, pregnant cow, pregnant cow, pregnant cow. I was scared. I was so glad Fiona was between me and him because he was a big guy. But what do we do in that situation? Well, I think what we understood in that situation was that somebody was probably unwell. And big 6 foot me, I was so glad to see an old lady go up, or an older lady go up and put her hand on his shoulder and take him outside and talk to him. What was wrong with him? I don't really know, but it came out, or he started expressing himself when the teaching was going on. See, I don't know who he was or what his issues were, and I think that's part of the story here in the Gospel of Mark. We don't know who this man was. We don't know whether he was Tommy, who sat in the third row most weeks and usually fell asleep, but when Jesus spoke, something reacted. Or was he somebody that had just come in and this was a new issue for them in the synagogue? How do we deal with it? It's something that we scratch our head and say, well, what happens? Well, what happens is God speaks to the Spirit, come out of him. The Spirit recognized who Jesus was, and that is something that you see. You see that the spirits do recognize before even the disciples have understood who Jesus is. The evil spirits have recognized. And Jesus says to him, be quiet, come out of him. And the evil spirit is removed from the man. The evil spirit comes out of him. What's happening here? What's happening here is that when Jesus arrives, the war on evil is really taking place. And it will only end up with death. Sometimes my boys say to me, fight to the death. And thankfully it hasn't happened. But what happens here is that this is what is happening, that there is a fight to the death, that this evil spirit has to be cast out. He is not allowed to exist and to keep living anymore. And you might think, well, that's an old problem, this problem of evil spirits. It's not an old problem. One of the most helpful things that I could say to you is something I read. The greatest achievement of the powers of evil would be to persuade us that they don't exist. They're not manifesting themselves. They're not showing themselves with utterances from people who are listening to preaching. Thankfully, I'm not sure what I would do. But evil is possessing people's lives. Evil is controlling what people do. The devil is still fighting to win people away from Jesus Christ and to keep them away from him. And evil fights its hardest when the good news of Jesus Christ is proclaimed. So don't think they don't exist, but recognize the authority of Jesus over them. And for areas of evil in our lives, influences of evil, well, what do we call to fight them? We have to call on the name of Jesus Christ to forgive us for any evil that is in us and to remove it from us so that we might live for him and serve him. So follow Jesus because of his power over evil spirits. Follow Jesus because of his power, thirdly, over our physical bodies. The story moves on. They go at verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. They go to this house, and Simon's mother-in-law is in bed with a fever. She's ill. We don't know whether she's a long-term sick person who's been in bed for years or whether she's just briefly ill with this fever. We don't know how bad it was. And it doesn't actually say that Jesus healed her. It just tells us, so he went up, he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, which means he did heal her, and she began to wait on them. So what's the story? Well, if you ever, even if it's been a fever that's lasted for a few days and it goes away, the last thing you want to do after you've suddenly made well is to get up and start serving everybody. You want to recuperate. You want to get everything back. And what we start to see is that Jesus' power over these things is so strong that he is able to completely restore and to do it instantly, and people are healed. And so we start to to see his power there. And we start to see that this is what happened as the story goes on. That evening after sunset, which means after the Sabbath services in the synagogue were over and after the Sabbath was over for the people, they seem to come to Jesus. And all the sick and demon-possessed come. And what does Jesus do? He healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Why wouldn't he let them speak? Because they knew who he was. Why did it matter that they knew who he was? Because Jesus wasn't at that stage in his ministry wanting everybody to recognize, for some reason, I don't quite understand what it all means, but the announcement that this is the Son of God wasn't to come from the demonic forces. It was to be seen in the Father's seal of approval on him and on his work. But the announcement wasn't to be made by them. Jesus has power over authority in his teaching. He has power over evil forces. He has power over our bodies. Today, does he really? If one of you comes to me and tells me you found a lump somewhere, will you say to me, Jeremy, will you heal that in Jesus' name? No, you probably won't. Is that because you've got weak faith or because you don't understand my healing powers? I don't claim to have any healing powers, by the way. But what can we say about these things today? Does Jesus still heal people supernaturally? Yes, Jesus is still able to supernaturally heal because Jesus is the same. He has the same power. Does he do that? Yes, he does, and you can read and hear different stories. But I would always ask you to hold... One of the things Jesus didn't want was a TV show that showed him healing people. He wanted to do other things. And I think when we start to make that the focus of a ministry or anything like that, we've lost the plot. But let's get back to what the Bible... what we can understand from the Bible. I can't remember who said that. Wrote it down word for word as a quote from a commentary that is very helpful for us as we understand that Jesus still heals and he does that through the means he has given. Listen to this. Divine healing by miracle is neither alternative to or opposed to divine healing by medicine. Divine healing by miracle is neither alternative to or opposed to divine healing by medicine. If God heals you through a doctor, he heals you through a doctor who he has gifted with that knowledge through the advances in science and modern medicine. We're speaking about leprosy and we'll speak about it again. It took a long time, but there is now a medicine that can stop leprosy getting worse and it can begin to heal and stop it being spread. And that we give thanks to God for. If I and my family were hungry, starving, no money left, and one of you came to me and said, Jeremy, here's a referral for the Dunfermline Food Bank. Go there, you will get food. And I said to you, no, I trust Jesus. My cupboards are empty, but Jesus fed 5,000 people that day, so surely he can feed my family, that I can go home and the cupboards will be full. You would say to me, Jeremy, go to the food bank. There's food there. Where's the food come from? It's come from the generosity of people, mostly organized by Christian people. God has already provided for you in that means. And I think we say the same thing about medicine and about how God gives us these things, that he has given us these gifts. We're blessed to have them as others provide healing. And what we are seeing in the life of Jesus and what we still see through the ministry of Jesus through his people is we still see miracles. But miracles are miracles. What is a miracle? It's unusual. It's surprising. It's unexpected. It is unexplainable except by the power of God. It's a miracle. And so when miracles become normal, they are no longer miracles. They're normal. And so we cannot take away from Jesus the power to do miracles, but let's call them miracles. Jesus, we should follow him because of his power over our physical bodies, his power to heal. Jesus, we should follow him because he prays. He prays, and that's where the story moves to next. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus went away to pray. Follow Jesus because he prays. Follow Jesus because he submits to the authority of his Father over his life. Follow Jesus because the place he seems to go to for strength is to draw on his Father. If you think of what Jesus has done during the Sabbath day, he had been teaching during the Sabbath day. He had cast out a demon during the Sabbath. He had healed many. And you would think he would be drained. If you do your work, one of the things that happens at the end of it is you're normally drained. If it's serving others, it can be a different kind of draining. And so Jesus goes and he prays. He prays to God. A few months ago, Fiona and I were out for dinner, and I said to the waitress, "Is the chef somebody?" And the chef was somebody who my brother knew. And I told the waitress, my brother knew him, worked with him. And the chef was going out the kitchen. He gave us a wee nod and free drinks. Can't even remember his name. I knew a man, or I know a man, who knew the man. And so I was provided for because of the connection, because the man knew the man. As we think of Jesus, as we think of all he does for us, we know the God-man who knows God. And as we start asking God for things, and as we come to God and wonder how he's going to provide for us, we start to see it is all through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So when Jesus goes and prays for in that time of solitude, in that time in his own, I'm sure he worshipped God with his prayers. I'm sure he praised God. I'm sure he understood better than you or I have ever understood just how holy God was. But would he have mentioned, would he have remembered any of these people who he had helped the day before? Did he care about people? Well, the story moves on and we'll see that he does, that he cares for people. And so what should we learn from this? Well, we should learn from this that we should go to Jesus because there is nobody who has a closer union with God, because he is God. He has a union with the Father, that we can enter into fellowship with God through him. We should follow Jesus because he can represent us to God. And as we start to read through the New Testament, we've been going through 1 John on Sunday evenings, we're reminded there that he who made the sacrifice, who was the propitiation for God's wrath, that he is our advocate. He is our lawyer. He speaks to God in our defense. And so we can learn to go to him. We can go to God in prayer as we copy Jesus Christ, and as we follow him, as we spoke about the disciples following him last week, we said that not only do they go behind, but follow really meant you went with, that they kept along with Jesus Christ. And as we keep along with Jesus Christ, then surely something we will do is pray. And we will pray in a quiet place, in a place on our own. We will go away and do it sometimes. We will spend time because Jesus did that. We will copy him. And so we start to see where Jesus received his strength and power as he goes to his Father for help. But what happens is that Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Why is everyone looking for Jesus? Why does everyone want to see Jesus now? Well, it seems to be that the Jesus roadshow had started in their minds. That there would be lots of people coming for healing and miracles. But Jesus says, no. Jesus, you could have really launched your ministry at this point. There was lots of people coming to you. Jesus says, no, let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there. That is why I have come. First purpose statement of why Jesus has come wasn't to heal, wasn't to cast out demons, but in this statement he says he has come to preach, he has come to speak, he has come to give a message. So we should follow Jesus because of what he says. And we see he says it with authority. We see his message is the reason he has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. That's the message he wants to tell and to keep on telling. And we should understand that these stories about demon possession and about healing and the miracles that Jesus will do as we go on in the gospel, that what these things do is they authenticate, they prove the words of the preacher. That when you test what Jesus is saying, you would start to see that, yes, what he is saying is true, and I know it because I have seen what he has done as well. So the main reason he has come here is to speak a message, that would change people's lives as they submit to his authority. But we move on and we see this man with leprosy and we see that we should follow Jesus, I'm saying now, because he cares. He cares. This leper comes to him, as I told the children, the leper comes and he falls on his knees. If you are willing, you can make me clean. He understood the power of Jesus Christ. He understood the ability of Jesus Christ, but he, as he came to Jesus, cast himself on the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. If you're willing, you can do it. And then we don't read that the man had to pay. We don't read that he had to pass a test. We don't read that he had to do anything. But the reason the man is healed by Jesus Christ, who we've seen the divinity of in his authority as he speaks, in his physical, in his ability to heal, and his ability to cast out. But we see the humanity of him here, the humanity as he is filled with compassion. I don't know what it's really like to be filled with compassion. Don't know if you ever feel like you've got no compassion or you're not feeling love or kindness towards somebody or something and then it fills you and you do something different. Most often if I do something good or kind, it's because after not being compassionate, I feel a wee bit guilty and I think I should do something. But Jesus here is filled with compassion. This is what drove him in this moment to do something. This is a change. A change, it sounds like or reads like. Moved is how some other translations put it. And so Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. And what did Jesus do? He touched the untouchable. That's what the story is here. Nobody else would touch a leper. But Jesus touches the untouchable and says, be clean. And the man is completely cleansed, instantly and powerfully cleansed by Jesus Christ. Jesus cares. Jesus cares, and he tells the man, don't tell anyone, again, because he is not wanting the healing roadshow to start, but he wants to be able to preach in the places he goes to. So, as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him. The people came to Jesus Christ. So follow Jesus. New faces in front of us today, young faces, and people who still have to declare whether they are trusting in the Lord Jesus, people who are maybe thinking about the Lord Jesus and whether you should trust him. What should you do? Why should you follow him? Why should you respond to the gospel call of Jesus Christ that says, repent, change your ways, turn to God, sorry for your sin, and believe the good news? You should turn because you see who Jesus is. He has power over evil. And nobody in this room can deny there is evil influencing their life. And nobody can deny the power of evil in the world. What's the news today? A gunman is holding people hostage in a bar in America. Why is he doing that? People are evil. We are evil. Jesus has power over evil. When you think of your body, you will have trouble with your body. You may die from the trouble you have with your body, but the gospel story is that Jesus Christ is able to heal. And he will completely heal us. How will he completely heal us? For you will not allow my soul in death to stay, nor will you leave your Holy One or even your people to see the tombs decay or to stay in the tombs decay, because he gives restoration. Jesus, as you come to him and as you ask, what should I do? Maybe you are amazed as you think of his teaching again, and you have to acknowledge it is amazing teaching, impacting communities and congregations and missions and individuals in every corner of the world all the time. But it's not just his word that he gives himself. He is moved with compassion. And how moved is Jesus Christ for you? Well, he shows his willingness to give as he goes to the cross and dies in our place and takes the punishment for our sin. And as he gives us life through himself so that we might be forgiven and live forever with him. Are you following him? It's a big question. And then as a church, as the Lord's people, are we following him? What does that mean? Has Dunfermline got any problems with the demonic? Yes, it has. People are caught up in it. A hairdresser, a barber, was telling me how many skulls she had looking down on her in her house as she was cutting my hair. I was a wee bit scared. But what's she playing with? Maybe just skull shapes. I think she's playing with a bit more. What about illnesses? Are people needing healed by Jesus Christ? Yes, we will continue to use medicines, but of all the things we can do when we hear of needs, we can follow Jesus' example and go and pray to God about these needs. We will go to quiet places and we will follow Jesus, and our response to problems that come before us hopefully will not be to have another meeting, but we would pray that we would be like him, filled with compassion. What would be wrong if you see a need tomorrow that you weren't planning on addressing, but your response to it is that you're filled with compassion to do something? Nothing would be wrong with that. Your normal reaction to it might have been wrong so far. Allow yourself to respond to the opportunities God gives and pray that our response to them would be right. So as we've looked over the first chapter of Mark, what we see is that the miracles and the power authenticate the message. And so today, as followers of Jesus proclaiming his message, which is why he came, we understand that we must follow him in his ways. And as we've been going through 1 John at night, one of the ways that we see that the message is authenticated is the Lord's people loving each other and loving others. And so as we see the ministry of Jesus, who did he help here? People, different people. as we look out, who should we help? People, many people, different people following him. Let's pray.